Romito Sipal, did I say that right? From the North Florida Research and Extension Center in Quincy.
Thank you very much. We are switching gears and flipping the coin from lignocellulosic biomass to oilseed crops. We've been growing Brassica carinata as a winter crop in the southeast region, in particular South Alabama, North Florida, and South Georgia for the past 3 years. But the response that we have to N is not consistent, and we found that it's been confounded by the effect of frost tolerance on the crop and plant density to be a major contributing factor to that. So we stepped back a little and did a very controlled experiment in the greenhouse to look at the effect of nitrogen on the plasticity of the crop as well as the productivity and how nitrogen affect the oil seed, the profile and the distribution. From all of our agronomic studies, including fertility, harvest, planting date, we have not found an agronomic management practice that changes the oil composition or the distribution of that profile. So we've decided we need to go control to look at what effect it has. For this study, we have used Napa's canola as a comparison. So all the data I'll be presenting is comparing carinata and Napa's response to nitrogen supply. Both of these crops are biofuel feedstocks. High uric canola is an industrial crop similar to carinata. Carinata has a higher energy efficiency based on yields and oil composition. We have found that the crop requires a high end input to maximize yield. And in our soil type, the sandy loams, we need 80 kilograms of N per hectare. In deeper sands, we need up to 120 kilograms of N per hectare. But it has a low end use efficiency and remobilization during the early stages of development, especially in our region, because during the winter months where it's grown in the southeast, as opposed to the summer months where it's grown in the north, there is significant leaf abscission, which reduces, because of the freezing, which reduces that N use efficiency. And only 50% of the N that is absorbed is actually removed in the seed. So we've determined that carinata and Napa's, they may differ in their growth, development, and productivity response to a nitrogen gradient, although they are related. Both of these crops share Brassica oleracea as a common parent. So with that, the objective of this research was to quantify the effects of nitrogen deficiency on the growth, resource allocation, the N uptake and use, seed and oil yield. What are those yield components, oil content and fatty acid distribution responses of these two oilseed crops? Seems like a mouthful. I'll try my best to pack it in 15 minutes. The study was conducted at the University of Florida IFAS NFREC Center in Quincy, and it was planted in December 2014 and was harvested in May of 2015. Just to give you an idea how it's grown in the field, we usually plant it in mid-November and harvest it in mid-May. But our temperatures were a little higher in the greenhouse, so we had a greater accumulation of heat units and faster maturation of the crop, so the season was slightly shorter. We use a winter type open pollinated Napa's cultivar Cantera 1918, and the Brassica carinata variety was A110 from AgriSoma Biosciences out of Canada, and these were grown in pots that was 7.65 liters, and they were fertilized with 100% Hoagland solution up to 35 days after planting. And after that, we have imposed 4 nitrogen treatments. And the nitrogen treatments were created by modifying the N concentration in the Hoagland solution. So we've had 66% of the N in Hoagland solution, 33% of the N in Hoagland solution, and then removing all that N, but this is applied 35 days after planting, because from trials we in the greenhouse, we determined that you cannot impose a treatment at the beginning of the study because it will crash and there is no growth being grown in a fine sand. The temperature was maintained in the greenhouse around the 20 degrees, day and night around 13 degrees, and it was grown in a 12-hour light and 12-hour dark fruit period. This study was terminated 110 days after planting, or 75 days after imposing that end treatment. I'll get to the results. These two crops are very different in their phenology and physiology. The Napas has an extended rosette period with the elongation of the main stem occurring much later than Carnata, so the bolting, it's more lengthy. Turning these images into graphs, and this is quite a bit of slides, charts in this one slide, but just to set it up for you, we have an my right-hand side, Carnata, and on my left, Napas, and we have the four nitrogen rates, and we look at the plasticity of the response of both of these crops, the N, and the partitioning to roots, stems, leaves, and reproductive structures. This will give us an idea of when we superimpose this on our N uptake data, when is the best time to apply N, when most of it is taken up for plant growth. So we found that the response to N differed between the two species. And Carnata accumulated greater dry matter overall than Napas at all N levels. The nitrogen modified this response. Looking at these two slides here, you can see that the root dry matter was similar across both species and N rate. But if you look at how the plant partitions dry matter into root, the allocation percentage in my next slide will tell a different story. The stem dry matter increased from 90-day period in both species, and it declined thereafter as we have a rapid accumulation of reproductive structures. When we average all of this data over the four sampling times, we found that Carnata accumulated about 52% more stem dry matter at a limited N condition and 34% more stem dry matter under optimum conditions than Napas. One of the most responsive parameter was the leaf dry matter component. At 50 days after planting, we found that the leaf dry matter increased when the N increased from 0 to 100% by more than 40% for both species. But at the end of the season, at 110 days after, 110 days after here, you can see the components, the contribution of leaf dry matter to the total. It was pretty much zero. This is because both crops, as they bolt, leaf abscission starts as the plant translocates all of that nutrients from the lower leaves into the developing seed. And at the end of the season, Carnata have, under limiting conditions, no leaves at all because the stems and the silex are highly photosynthetic at that point, shunting all of the assimilates into the developing seed. If we look at the reproductive structures, and I'm calling reproductive structures because under the optimum conditions, we had a continuous accumulation of flowers and leaves and stems. Both of these species are indeterminate. The dry width of the reproductive structures was greater at all N levels than Napas. And this is partly due to the number of branches and the racemes. When we average the data across the N rates, the pod dry rate increased linearly over time for both species. And again, this is because of the indeterminate nature of both crops. continue under optimum conditions, it will continue to develop new branches, primary branches, continue develop new secondary branching become tertiary branching. We've quantified that, but we have not presented that here today. So if we take all this data and we average it over the four sampling dates, we found that leaves and stems, it linearly declined over time, while the reproductive structures, it increased linearly with the end supply across both years. And if we total all of these components and we look at how it responds to over time, we found that there is a quadratic increase in dry matter in both species. But if we look at the response to end rate, we found that there is a linear increase with nitrogen supply. So next, I will look at how those absolute values are actually relative to each other under these various stress conditions. So the allocation among roots, leaves, and stems and reproductive structures differed markedly between these two species. When we averaged over the N rates, the carinata root fraction decreased with time for both species. And this is because of that rapid accumulation of reproductive structures at the end of the season. But average over time, the root fraction was greatest at the most nutrient-limited condition. And this is because plants generally, and this is a given, invest more of its resources to capture nutrients under nutrient-limiting conditions. The leaf percentage of the total dry matter, it declined sharply with time for both species. When we look at the stem fraction, it decreased over time, while Napus, for Carinata, it kind of decreased over time, but Napus pretty much remained unchanged. And that's a similar pattern we have found for the pod fraction as well. There's a lot can be said about these slides. We've written a paper that will be published soon in this that will determine pretty much all these trends. So we want to look at what growth functions led to those differences that we have seen. In graph A, B, and C, which is the height, node numbers, and node length, we found that Carinata had a greater proportion of these parameters than Napus. And if we look at D and E, we found that Napus accumulated greater leaf area at all N rates, and this resulted in graph F, a higher root shoot ratio than Carinata. So the main stem length and the internode length we found to increase linearly with time across and level and species. This is not central to the talk, but I thought it would have been important to share to look at nitrogen uptake and nitrogen use of these two crops as a function of time and nitrogen rate. The N uptake, we calculate that as the total leaf N as a function of the root dry mass. And N use is the leaf dry mass divided by the leaf N concentration. I'm cued that my time is almost up, but there are differences, and from this we can determine the maximum N uptake and the maximum N use to determine when in the field we need to apply our nitrogen to coincide with higher growth and which will result in higher yields. So this one slide is pretty much my most important slide in the presentation. We found that the seed yield response to N level was quadratic for both species. As N increased from zero to 100 for both species, Carinata production increased by 30%, and as N increased from 0 to 100, we found that the seed productivity of Napus increased by 20%. What was interesting here is the oil content as a function of the N. There is a decline in oil content as NREIT increase. Coronado decreased its oil content by a 12% point. This is extremely significant, while Napa's decreased by 7 percentage points. And we believe this has to do with the dilution effect and a genetic potential for oil production within these crops. The more seed there is, the plant has to partition those nutrients to produce oils. That's why we're having this. But what is important is the oil yield, and this is calculated per plant basis, which is a function of that oil content and the seed yield. And this response was influenced more by the seed production rather than the oil content, and it followed a similar trend in the seed yield. And we found this in all of our data sets. Quickly, when we look at the yield components, from this slide we can determine what are those factors that contribute more to Coronado yield. And from this and other data sets that we've put together, we've determined that reproductive branches is the number one yield component for Coronado yield productivity. And this will inform the selection process. Most of our selection now has this as the primary factor selecting for branching. We know that this depends on temperature and other factors, but given the same condition, we're looking for highly branched plants to maximize yield. And we look at the harvest index ratio, which is the ratio of the harvested seed to shoot dry matter, and we found that this increased with NREIT, and pretty much at 66% of our N, it seems to maximize and then decrease in both species. Next, we look at the fatty acid distribution and the saturation as a function of the N supply. And I am not going to get into detail with this, but in my next slide, what is of importance here is C22, the very last column, and that is uric acid, and this is what separates Carnata from canola. And the uric acid is a monounsaturated fatty acid, and this is a major constituent of Carnata oil and is used as a precursor for jet fuel conversion. And we found that Carnata has averaged over NREIT about 50% more uric acid, and this is what makes it an interesting crop. To summarize the study, we found that the resource allocation, the partitioning between these two crops varied, and this response was modified by the nitrogen supply. The seed and oil yield increased with N availability, and the oil content decreased with N for both species. And this was an interesting finding in this study. In addition, the nitrogen use, that partitioning and the productivity into the seed in Carnata, we think has a greater sensitivity to nitrogen deficiency than canola based on the productivity at the limited end condition. Though not a major conclusion from this study, but adequate nitrogen fertilization is critical to the productivity in oilseed brassicas. From this study, the 10 milligram of N per liter, which was our 66% N, seems to be sufficient to meet the co-op requirements of both of these oilseed brassicas tested.